It's 6:02. I will call this Finance Administration Committee meeting to order. This is a 2012 Finance Committee budget hearings. There are no citizen comments during this meeting. Citizens will have an opportunity to comment again on the budget when we present it to the county board for final adoption. First item up, we have the county board. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I was expecting a introduction from the chairman. Okay, so we get a pass off the township.
Thanks. They're on top.
Before you, this is the county board budget, and that begins under the legislative cap, page 27. As you know, the board will be downsized to redistricting, assuming that we have a map. And then someone prevails here shortly with a dispute. Between the city and county, and then last week, they left 1,200 in the county board, and the election is 3/12. So the budget, of course, reflects that change with the 2012 budget. Additionally, the health insurance full-time supervisors also will be eliminated with the board coming in this 2012. So again, the budget reflects a big year change or approximate mid-year change in that budget level as well. Mid-year 2010, there was a request by the administration for all departments, generally all departments, to make a cut, I believe, somewhere around 1.5%. That was done in 2010. So that continued to carry through the 20-month budget here, also proposed in 2012. So the line items that are affected are salaries. It has been reduced to 7,000. Retirement has also changed based on contribution to the retirement fund that has commenced in 2011 already for county supervisors, as you all know. And the rest of it is pretty straightforward, as it is year after year. A couple things I would add. Not in this budget, has been discussed or recommended by the executive committee. I'll leave it to this body to do what you like with the recommendation that I will make. I certainly take the county board if you're inclined on this issue. If you want anywhere along the budget debate, I would suppose. The discussion on a funded county board position is one that has been out there. It's one that I continue to support. I will tell you today that it certainly isn't something that I'm going to go to the mat and battle for, but I think really strongly for those of you who will say that that position is a new position. I would like to go back to, I believe, our initial change in Washington County to the county executive form of government. There was a position in there as a liaison to the county board. Over the time period since then, it has been cut to a half-time position, I believe. Part-time media and ultimately eliminated. Regardless of how the discussion first came up on the position, I believe strongly that this county board is going to continue to be as active as we have been as of late. I think we've been a great deal accomplished, certainly the last year and a half. We're going to cut members of the county board from 2023. Different from term to term. There is continued to be a handful of supervisors who take an active legislative role in what we do here. So, I can tell you that we have met repeatedly throughout my tenure with the Golf Division, Golf Committee. We have a comprehensive study that will be presented to the county board in relatively short order. Sometime in November. We have tackled the issue of economic development. sit on the committee for the Green River Park planning, which is a KG park. All of these efforts that clearly take time, whether you're the chairman of the county board or you are a supervisor who's committed to moving the vision of Pinellas County forward, we simply can't continue to dedicate the time that we do to keep your candidates with without being consistent about, as it's come out, as executive, it is about what we do and not get back. So checking the balance of what we're doing. One department or the other is truly about the county board getting back to what I think we should be doing with this legislation. So you can look at the conversation that's transpired today. You can question why there isn't, how can we find a position when there isn't even a job description to it. I'll tell you at this point in time, I don't think it's worth investing the time on until now, until we know whether or not there's a commitment from the board. Because I'm not certain it has to be a county employee. I'm not certain that it has to be or should be a part-time consultant. So, until we have some definition as to whether or not there's a will from the county board to bring in a liaison in that fashion, I'm comfortable saying that we can commit to it, dedicate to it. We can spend then if the county board in fact supports it between now and the election of 2012, so that we get a position to find, potentially publicize, and maybe bring someone on board and they start with the board that comes in 2012. So, again, I'll throw it out there. This committee can do whatever you like. You can pass it on and bring it to the county board. I trust you can support the board for it. And the other point I want to make is with the reorganization of the county board, my desire is that, and the direction that I provided, certainly, at least as long as I'm the chairman, is that the county board budget is going to be under the purview of the executive committee. So the budget was discussed in committee, recommendation made, given the transfer of the committees and restructuring the committee, and the fact that it came a little bit late, we didn't get the information to the county executive timely enough. That will change in the future. And that is where I have instructed that the county board budget will be discussed and be prepared properly with the administration in terms of bringing it forward. So it is no longer going to be under the purview of the county board.
Any discussion?
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now we are tentatively approving all these budgets. So I'm going to make a motion to approve them. We're tentatively approving them until we get to the final adoption.
Okay. It is 6:10. We're on to the county executive on page 333.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman of the Finance Committee and members of the Finance Committee. The 2012 budget, which I meet the board on October 4th. County executive specific part of that budget of 337 follow the appropriations unit of personnel as the adjustments reflected down primarily in the retirement because of the budget payroll. The positions for the salaries are board approved or increases that are in the amount of pay plan that are in this budget. They already are included in those numbers when the contractual service line appropriations looks to have about $70,000 going back in, carried forward to forward in this next budget of 2012. The supplies are fairly the same as last year. Fixed charges, public liability insurance is the same, and many of the other items on the lower part of that page of contribution to things are the same. There's one modest change to the fireworks. In fact, the city has been non-responsive due to two letters I had of inquiry, and the fireworks were paid for by Walgreens. They didn't meet our contribution. We're trying to sort that out, but I did not include that in next week's allocation.
Did you say the city was non-responsive?
They did not respond.
Surprising.
Yeah. Glad to be happy to answer any questions that we're needing.
Supervisor Rose.
Section on reserves of $50,000 and then the carryover totaling $100,000. What's that from?
Sure. A lot of this precedes me being here. I can go into a little bit, but Al Schwartz, why don't you give an overview a little bit on that? The carryovers and the reserves, how we work.
The allocation for his other professional services traditionally has had money left in it, and that's the carryover portion of $50,000. And then we've always allocated a portion of reserves to cover the other portion. That's historically the way we funded that line item.
Mayor, if I may, sure. There are times when we needed legal fees or something done. A rather quick turnaround. It has the flexibility to it, which we did the Carthage study. That when they presented, they'll be presented to the board, I believe, in November. In consultation with the chairman and the chair of the finance committee, said we should get this together. We were able to partner with Carthage College. That $5,000 came out of that fund. When I was first elected into office, in talking with the leadership of the board, we talked about changing the concept from 45 and 50 to the current downtown campus. Had some preliminary plans done in a modest scope and size of plans, not detailed, for the board to conceptually look at the footprint, how it would look, and it would be workable and reasonable. That came out. Those are examples of those type of things that come out of there that you may not normally can't budget for. When Chrysler closed and ceased operations, there was an immediate study that we partnered with the city for $25,000. With $50,000 total, we shifted $25,000 to get the ball rolling at the Department of Commerce. Significant amount of money, but in terms of having to turn around quickly, that's what that is.
So this is, we're not talking about reserves, general fund reserves, but reserves in your office.
No, this is the only thing in the budget, I believe, that has reserves, and we don't use them customarily, and we've always returned, I believe, $50,000 plus.
Yeah, $120,000, I think he still has access of about $75,000 right now, which we'll use as carryover fund, and then the rest of it will replenish, will be used.
Since I've been here, we've carried over about that amount every year. Needing some of it, not needing most of it. But you don't know.
Second. Been moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Ekmanis. Any other discussion? Supervisor Decker.
I would like to know why the funds they've assessed when that's with county tax dollars, when that is obviously a political event.
Well, I think there's a number of events. Through the chair.
Sure.
There's a number of events on here that are of value to our community. And symphonies in there, civic parade, supporting the county fair, supporting the Conservation Congress, which represents us, and depending on where the members travel, they get reimbursed for their expenses to represent our values on DNR issues. So one might say one may be a rod and gun club issue, one may say a county fair issue. I think they're all very good things for the community, and they're free, and believe me, in this time, us underwriting those like we have historically in the past is part of our role to lead in government and do that. So we may differ on different ones. We may not go to different events, but clearly a significant amount of population goes to all of them.
I certainly, I've had the question, during these budget times whether we should be funding any county fair, fireworks, Labor Fest, you name it. But Al Swartz, in this professional, or outside, other professional services, you're projecting $112,850 as what we're spending this year.
The projection out is just the modified budget, not cut out. Projections aren't really projections, it's just a required now.
So.
Budget format, so when you look at it apart, don't concentrate on it now.
So the last couple of years, what have we been spending then in that line item roughly?
Well, probably about $50,000. This year we have a, right now we have a 75, we haven't spent 75,000 as of today.
So, and we're funding, we are actually using reserves.
Correct.
To fund that line item every year.
Correct.
Should we be using reserves? I mean, if we're not spending that level, should we be using reserves? Because there's going to be other line items in this budget where people are going to be targeting reserves. And I guess I'm at the point of saying we shouldn't be, you know, they talk about, reserve policy talks about using reserves for non-reoccurring items. Now, we did that in the past with Kemper, we did it in the past with the History Museum, and we decided to shift those over to levy. Either we need it or we don't. When we're below our reserve policy, I question the wisdom of doing that. We're not spending at that level. If we come into a item that needs additional attention, there's always the ability. I mean, obviously it's cumbersome, you gotta go to the county board, you gotta get a resolution, but I'm just throwing it out to the committee whether they want to consider eliminating the use of reserves and lower the budget or leave it in. I'm not going to make that motion, but I'm just throwing it up. Any other discussion?
I thought you said, or maybe I misunderstood, that these are reserves within your budget fund.
No.
Oh, it's from the general fund reserve.
Right.
Okay.
If I may, sure. Basically, I don't believe that we've touched on these reserves in the past several years. We've turned over $50,000, I think, in the past.
Right. We haven't consumed your reserves.
We haven't consumed that part.
So when we close out, just so I'm clear, that when we close out the year, this business unit is adding to the reserves then because there's a surplus? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I can take that one. Generally what happens is the reserves go back to the general fund, then we earmark them again for the next year's budget. So we don't consume them, we haven't been consuming them. Now, in the other two examples you mentioned, the History Center and the Kemper Center, we did consume them, we sent checks out. So this just gives us some flexibility. And if something comes up, and the executive mentioned several of the items, but other items that come up, a lot related to economic development, a lot related to working with the Fed on revenue programs. It gives us flexibility to react to that. But we have not consumed that money.
Okay. From my perspective, I don't have a problem with this. One could take these and put them in another category. And I think that's more of an accounting issue than a policy issue. The money seems to be used wisely.
I want to point out because the use of reserves is going to come up later in the budget debate. And I want to be consistent. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Executive.
Thank you very much.
It is 6:21. We will now pick up the CABA budget on page 237.
Thank you.
Battle. Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee, Tom Battle from the North Shore Business Alliance. I think you have in front of you a proposed budget allocation for Cabo. It really is a kind of a two-part allocation. One piece of that is a $125,000 commitment to an economic development services contract. That amount has been, you know, been at that level and been fairly static for a number of years. What that really represents is the county's contribution to a public-private partnership for economic development. We have an economic development organization with an operating budget of about $1 million. The county has a planning and land use staff, but really doesn't necessarily perform an economic development function. So we've come to this partnership over the years where the county has annually made an investment in Cabo's economic development program, and we structured an economic development services agreement. So that's what that $125,000 represents. I think it has served both organizations well as a fairly cost-effective way to fund economic development and contribute to a countywide economic development program. Over and above that economic development services contract, we administer a number of revolving loan fund programs for the county and other municipalities within the county. Last year, we worked with the county board to establish a new high impact fund, which gave us some additional ability to be additionally creative, flexible, and aggressive with respect to economic development projects and deal structuring. So last February, we received $1 million contribution from the county to capitalize this high impact fund. The guidelines for the program have been established and are now in place. As we're into the fall of this year and you start your budget deliberations, there was a little bit of discussion about, you know, whether it makes sense to reinvest in that program, contribute additional dollars to it, allocate more funds to it, given that the $1 million fund balance contributed last February is still intact. And so I think the discussion has been there's $1 million there. We, as your economic development organization, wouldn't necessarily come draw additional resources until needed, but boy, it sure would be great to have additional resources allocated in the event some of the economic development activity we're starting to see starts to land, and we use the high impact allocation that was committed in 2011. It'd be great to have the ability to come back in 2012 and have more resources to put into the program. So that's that second piece of the Cabo allocation for this year. So I think that's what's in front of you. I'd be happy to kind of answer any questions, respond to any inquiries or interest about that. But that, I think, that speaks to the budget that I think is in front of you right now for all of 2012.
As well. With respect to the $1 million and then the $500,000 addition, are there some prospects on the horizon? I think that's the only concern we have. Are we just, you know, banking this money, or is there something really afoot here that we can say this is money currently being well allocated?
Yeah, and that gets to be a little bit of a sensitive area. All due respect, we've tried to walk that fine line of being open, accountable, transparent in our dealings, but also as an economic development organization, having kind of this veil of privacy and protecting the interests of clients and their confidentiality requests. I could say with some amount of confidence that we are seeing a lot of activity. We'd like to see more of that activity translated into actual deal flow projects, groundbreakings, construction activity. And, you know, it's hard to predict when that will happen. I would say that the amount of activity that we're seeing and the interest is fairly high, which gives me some confidence that the investment in the high impact fund would bear fruit. But I can't say it with certainty. I think it's a reasonable investment. But again, it's hard for me. I know you guys are dealing with a tough budget to say we've got $1 million in the bank and we haven't closed a project yet to come back and ask you for more. But I do see a lot of good opportunities, and I do think this fund will come into play in some of these opportunities where it's just perhaps a creative or aggressive tool that we could put on the table that maybe other communities might not have the ability to do. It could be a significant influencer.
Well, I just, for my position, I would support this. With the unemployment rate in the city at 10 plus percent, The county is over 9% unemployment. We've got to be competitive here and at least give it to the best effort we can. This is the only game in town, as I see it. There's nobody else doing this kind of economic development, and it does take money in this economy.
I'll echo these words to Terry's.
The economic development, $500,000, how's that different from the other one as far as, is that going to help some of the existing businesses in Georgia, to the smaller businesses that go to the next step?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. The $500,000 allocation that you see in there would be an additional allocation of the high impact fund. So that fund would be operated under the same guidelines we set for the high impact fund. So the question, you know, if the question is, does it help existing businesses? The answer is clearly yes. The program guidelines that we've established for the high impact fund does not discriminate between this is a new business or an existing business. It discriminates between is this what we would consider high impact? And high impact has a certain threshold for either investment or job creation. So in that respect, yes. And then, you know, the question, the other part of that question may be, does it help small businesses as much as it may help some of these bigger projects? The answer to that might be no, in that the high impact fund does have a threshold that says you've got to add, you know, back minimum number of jobs or minimum amount of investment to qualify for this. I would offer, in addition to that, we do administer about $28 million worth of revolving loan fund assets, and those revolving loan fund programs have been an incredible tool for the community to support business growth and economic development and small business loans. So if, you know, if it was a small business that may not necessarily qualify for the high impact fund, we're on pace to do somewhere between $5 and $5.5 million of lending this year from these various economic development revolving loan fund programs that we administer. And that's going to all businesses of all shapes and sizes that are expanding in the county.
Supervisor Lofton, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to where the line item actually falls under planning and development, I understand in past years it's fallen there basically because there hasn't been an actual place for it. But now that TABA is actually sort of reporting to the legislative committee, I wonder if maybe it might be better to place it under that one.
So your capital off page 241.
Mr. Stewart, you can address that.
Any area classified under any area that maybe desires? If it's just under planning development because the value of the development school and it wasn't really under the planning development department, this is what in fact part of the development of the county. So that was the name of the department with the path with
economic development, and also the housing authority is also. But it can
be placed anywhere that the
committee
desires. Any other discussion? Supervisor Gray. Just a question to the chair of the administration. At the bottom of page 239, we're looking at appropriation and outlay of $500,000. We go to the top of the next page. Or appropriation unit revenue. I think that's bonding, and I see the amounts are the same. How do these two interrelate? Are they basically two sides of a coin? That one is
one source of the revenue.
Okay, so they're not additive. They're basically linked to the same revenue. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Moved by Supervisor Guest, second by Supervisor Rose. I have no issue with the concept of funding for economic development. I totally support this. However, I have an issue with how we are funding. And we're funding it by borrowing money. And the executive committee came out with a recommendation that this number be at 250,000.
the discussion within that committee never talked about borrowing money to do this. In years past, and maybe this is my concept, but you all heard it, that I thought it should be funded by maybe indexing it to sales tax growth. And in earlier numbers, or at least at that time, we were looking at a $238,000 surplus in sales tax. While our bond advisors may say that we can borrow for this, now I guess I want to ask Dave to discuss this. I am opposed to borrowing money for this purpose. And number one, and number two, there's no strings attached here, or if there's any intention that there's strings attached as to when or if or how you use this money, because we're at $1 million. I had a conversation with the county executive a little bit about this, and there was some, you know, we got $1 million in there. What if we don't use it? Are we going to borrow for it, or are we not going to if nothing comes to light? And maybe that was part of the consideration to not levy. Well, what if they don't use it again like this year? But when you take a look at our borrowing trend over the years, go back 6 years, go back 8 years, we were at 3, 4. Then we took some building projects. We got up over, you know, over 10 million. We're up to 15 million this year. And we got a building project that we had to deal with, 2.75 million. We took on another project, 900,000 for the fiber. There may be some other things, but say there's $5 million of things that are out there. Our norm for borrowing without those exceptional items is now 10 million. Our levy, almost 25% of our levy goes to debt service. So it's easy to spend money when you're borrowing it. So what happens next year? Are we going to borrow again for this? Or are we going to put it in the levy? It's more sustainable to be in the levy and have a longer track where you've got the placeholder for it. Next year, we're going to be facing, I'm sure, the same budget issues. And the question is, are we going to fund this? Are we going to borrow for it? When you look at this capital borrowing plan, capital budgets, you know, we're running high. And this, yeah, this budget, debt budget, or capital budget, if you look at the bond deal in the future going forward, that doesn't include anything for what joint services is going to require us to do for their new software project. We heard $4.5 million. Not in here. So we are at the top end of our debt limits. I'm not comfortable borrowing for this, and I'd be more comfortable levying for it and then determining what the number is. So we tentatively approve this. We get through the entire debt thing, but we're going to come back to this issue. And we really got to look at how we're spending or how we're managing money. Supervisor Sandin.
I am concerned, as I expressed it before in the discussion, that we're putting additional money to a fund that is not even utilized yet. I'm not against economic development. Although you really have to look at what we're really doing here. If we just go out and get companies from out of state, if you're doing that, you're pulling in companies from other states. Those communities are losing corporations. So all you're doing is shifting jobs rather than creating jobs. I like the idea of doing it for existing businesses that are in the Kenosha community. So that I've always pressed that as part of CABA's, my view of CABA, that it, we continue to do it in that manner. I can support bringing the amount down in the fact that we have not used it. money to Price Point. And I think the chairman says we should have some strings that even if we do the $500,000, we should have some strings indicating that if they're not using it, that we don't go along and do the bonding on it. If there's not a need for it, we don't automatically just give them the money because they say they want money. That if they have a use for the money, then we can follow through with it. And if they don't, then we can just roll that into our budgets next year and then decide how much to do next year.
Supervisor Rose?
I was for I'd frankly rather see new businesses here. I think they address the issue of businesses currently in the community that want to expand, and that is not the problem. The problem is we've got high unemployment rate. We need new businesses here desperately. And so this is not a lot of money in the scheme of things. Other states are spending far more than the kind of dollars we're talking about here. I certainly don't want to reduce this. If you reduce it, you might as well just forget it. The third point is we're at historical low interest rates, and I don't know what the administration plans on the length of borrowing here, but if you're at the 2-3 year level or under 5 years, and I can't imagine that you're going to be in excess of 5 years, and the finance people want to address that, you're probably under 1% here or in that 1% area. Is that worth talking about here? I don't think so. I think it's negligible. And these rates are going to be here for some period of time. This, if one is going to borrow, certainly this is the time to borrow. And when you're talking about those kind of rates on the debt service, it's negligible.
Is this a 8-year or 10-year payback or borrowing schedule?
Mr. Chairman, I confirm it. We're rolling this into a 10-year bond. However, we do have principal payments during the 10-year amortization. And things with a shorter life, you could consider having been paid off earlier, and things with a longer life, you could consider having paid them off later. So, the coupons on the earlier ones have lower interest rates. But I was just looking at interest rates today, and 20-year is less than 4, it's let's say 3.5. And 10-year could be low 3s, high 2s, and that's the whole 10 years of that. So if you look at the cost of the borrowing compared to historical inflation numbers, it's almost, we could almost have a negative amortization where we're paying less principal back if you adjust using historical inflation numbers. So, this is one advantage to borrowing versus pay-as-you-go. The other thing is, as far as using capital financing, we do expect long-term benefits from this economically. And I know we have contracts with the companies over a period of years, and there are generally long-term benefits that we get, so that also justifies the borrowing because it's something that you don't just get in 1 year. It's something you get, a benefit you get over many years, similar to building a road or a bridge.
Just wrapping up my comments, this is not property, plant, or equipment. I will not support borrowing money for this. I will support putting it into the levy. We have to. It's easy to borrow money. It's easy to look at that, but you don't have the control if you're saying we can pay it later. You've got to look the taxpayer in the eye and say we've got to pay for this now. It's the priority that we need to do. Because if you use that logic of future benefit, we can look at this $125,000 that we're funding them every year and borrow for that. And we get our levy down a little bit lower because we can borrow money wonderfully cheap. If it comes out of this committee and we are borrowing, and I want this, Dave, to think about in the resolution, if CABA doesn't come forward with a use, a don't want to borrow the money. I would want there to be a resolution or an act by the board or the committee, however you're going to do it. I think I want to have that conversation. I support this fund. I support what it's doing. I believe if it's going to be sustainable, it should be built into the levy, and we shouldn't be bound. Any other discussion? Chairman Molina.
I think the discussion about how you fund the look to sustain long-term is a good discussion. I'm disappointed that we had this very discussion with the executive committee. We made a recommendation to the administration. There was no follow-up on the conversation on the mechanism on what we do going forward. I recognize that the recommendation is for 250, it's at 500. I certainly support the larger number from a potential payback standpoint in terms of what we've indicated we've been able to do. But disappointed that we didn't look for a way to fund it other than borrowing for it. At the same time, I recognize that it does make sense in certain circumstances to borrow when you're talking about borrowing essentially at something under 3%. It is cheap money, historically cheap money. I recognize there's a cost to doing it, but it's a relatively modest cost when you're talking about payback. So, had the discussion. I think long term, I'm going to urge the committee, executive committee will take it up, finance committee can discuss it as well, the administration to get on board and figure out. I've always been open to the idea of indexing it to the sales tax, or if there's other ideas, I'm open to listening to those as well. But I think what I don't like, and the one thing I did here tonight, is that we're not in the business or we shouldn't be spending this money to draw businesses from other states, because all we're doing is taking jobs from them and adding jobs here. And boy, if that is our outlook, and I don't anticipate that's going to be the sense across the board here, but if that is our outlook, we will very quickly be in absolute last place, because I promise you there isn't another state or another community who's taking that approach. It is, whether you like it or not, all for one, one for one, I should say.
Yeah.
And the rest be damned. And unfortunately, we had a great announcement this week on that former Chrysler property, and that will be years in the making before anything can come anywhere near being happening on that property. And if you think that other communities are going to wait around, they're simply not going to.
Racine County has $1 million for the next 4 years. I don't know how it's funding it or pay for it, but that's in Racine County's budget. $1 million for the next 4 years.
We don't have to make this part of a 10-year issue either. And there certainly is a market for 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and that'll reduce your rate to negligible, I would argue with. That there's a market for that. We can certainly recommend that. We can talk about that at the end, and maybe Dave Burston and Al Schwartz can take a look at that and tell us what that rate of interest will be, but it'll be less than 2%. There's a market for that if that's what you want to do. And $1 million over 4 years, like Racine, you can make this just a token kind of thing. We're trying to do our part, so here it is over a period of time. Then don't bother. You either get into it with both feet and try to get some new business here, and we need it, or don't bother. But don't make a token here. And $1.5 million is not a lot of money for this type of stuff. Not when you're competing with California and Texas and New York. We're not talking a lot of money.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Gears.
That's correct. We could front load the principal payments so we don't incur the cost of extra issues. So we can front load the principal and pay it off sooner at very low interest rates. And we have the low coupons from the earlier maturities. And the other thing we could do is, as long as the county board has comfort with the appropriation, you can establish the appropriation, and then we could just administratively deliver the funds to CABA when they need them, and we can reimburse ourselves through the future funding, so we don't have to borrow the money. All of that is feasible and doable. There has been discussion that that all can be done if it's a policy, the desire of the community.
I think we'll get into that discussion when we get to the resolution. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes no. It's time to leave. Okay, I think we're right on time. It's 6:47. We have the joint services budget on page 41. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
I'm the new director of joint services and very pleased to be here this evening. So Marcikas has graciously agreed to come for one more meeting, maybe two or three more as we go on in the next couple of years. She's here tonight to assist. She had a great deal in developing the budget. She certainly has brought me up to speed, but there are some things that she may need to address as we go along. I handed out some summary documents to you, as well as a couple pages of pictures. The pictures are of what joint services look like today, some of the different offices. And we've done a lot of building over the last couple of years. So I really wanted you to see what your money has gone to in developing joint services. There are pictures of fleet maintenance, administration, evidence identification, dispatch. All of them are now modern, efficient facilities, and we're very pleased with what we have right now. I really just wanted you to see what joint services is today. The summary documents that I have put before you deal with the tax levy that will be requested. If you compare 2011 to 2012, there is a 9.92% decrease in that amount of money requested through that tax levy. And when you get into the county's portion versus the city's portion, maybe a little source of irritation here, but I understand all that came about through the maximum study and all the rest of that. The county's portion is $3.9 million. The city's portion is $3.4 million. I can...
Change since you came on board?
Pardon me?
Yeah. Change since you came on board?
Take it easy. Are they current in their payments? Stand down.
What's your previous job?
Yes, they are.
They are correct. Okay.
I can go through line item by line item if you would like, or if you would like to go and address questions to me, whatever is your wishes, maybe Wilson and I would be more than happy to go through that.
I have a question. I mean, I know the answer, but can you discuss why you chose to use reserves rather than having a stable budget that you're going to have to next year turn around and tip the county and the city for $500,000 more in the levy?
Yes, I can, and Sue would be able to do it far better than I would be able to. I have an understanding, but I'll let Sue go through it.
It's a board directive to use all the reserves for the budget.
Did you have reserves last year?
Then we folded in, I think it was $400,000 we folded in last year.
Why are we dropping by almost $1 million?
You're actually, the full reserves is almost $1 million worth.
But we used the 448 last year?
we applied, well, I should say for the 2011 budget, we applied $448,000. We don't expect that we'll be using it this year. So that, along with the projected amounts from 2011 expenditures, totals the $900,000 that was being filled in.
So your budget, your operating expenses have gone down from year to year as well?
Well, it's gone down since last year.
So how did you save $500,000 this year? What's driving that?
The normal savings is through the dispatch, not going to dispatch positions, and last year through health insurance also. A minor part of that was through the Wisconsin retirement system for non-reps, but not a major amount, since that didn't enter into it until August.
So our expenses budget year to year are down by roughly almost $400,000, $300,000.
For this year.
And then we're turning over with. So what do you anticipate for next year? Your budget looking like? Obviously, you must be looking forward and understanding that. Are we going to expect a big? Are we budgeting to come in at zero, and then because we're using $900,000 on reserves this year, that we're going to have to increase our both sides by $450,000? That's my concern.
There will be an impact. If we use that much reserves this year, we don't expect that there's going to be that reserve to develop the 2013 budget, so there will be an impact.
So if your budget, if you guys come in on your budget without a surplus, that next year you will be asking, in addition to your normal expense growth, you will be asking the city and the county to make up that $900,000.
One of the major contributors to the excess, as we talked about, has been dispatch and the ability to staff dispatch. It is a continual problem, something that we are looking at. Chairman gets a good answer to support. I've done a study with many of the members there. I'm going to be putting a great deal of time into that. I've already directed some of the managers to start looking at timelines for our process. So we're hoping to try to bring dispatch up to full staff, and then if we are able to do that, we would not have that excessive amount of excess staff.
On that point, as far as the dispatch, we realized that the other facility being outmoded, cramped, and not very efficient certainly had its drawbacks. But I would think with our new dispatch being state-of-the-art and relatively conducive working situations, we wouldn't have this particular issue. Can you speak to that? Either you or sir?
Well, I believe the facility is state-of-the-art, and it is a much more comfortable environment. There are some factors that do contribute to the burnout of some dispatchers, and we are losing one from a similar type situation. The training is very comprehensive and exacting, and it's difficult to find a person who is very much bolder to be a dispatcher. So we are trying to address that as much as possible. I believe the facility has certainly helped us. There are some other factors that we need to look into when we continue evaluating.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To the chair, I'd also like to comment on that issue. I created a subcommittee to analyze that exact issue with dispatcher turnover and how to retain it. Tracking and retaining dispatchers. We put months worth of work into that, and we used all different, we used management, we used actual dispatchers. We analyzed all over the state with what the numbers were, what the salaries were. We looked at the training time, how much of the turnover, how quick you could get somebody in that position, and it's a long period of time to do. And we've tried to cut back on that, but we are going to be coming up with some initiatives to try to look into that. right away at the turn of the year with the solution that we've had in mind for a while. So we are working on that, and it is a common problem for dispatch centers throughout the country, and it has been a source of irritation for myself and the staff since I started chairing it. So we are working on it. We do have a result from that study, and we're going to be moving forward with that. So hopefully we can reduce some of those turnovers and keeps of people and such. So just wanted to give you a little more info on that.
The other question I have is lease of space. It's going from $719,000 down to $579,000. Can you explain that?
The figures are provided by the county based on their analysis from the year previous and the projections as to what the expenses will be, and that's the number that they gave us.
So I will just ask Dave Rowell to comment on that number, that $579,981 is your number?
Yes.
And that's the number that you have somewhere else in the budget?
Correct. Last year, when we were doing the IGA, we had put a $12 square foot rate in there, as you recall, and this is the reduction in the actual rate based on the actual spending formula.
So this likely would be the normal level then?
Correct. Okay.
Supervisor Singer.
Move approval.
Move by Supervisor Singer. Second by Supervisor Andreas.
It's a great budget.
Chairman Molina.
Just to be clear, although I think Alan confirmed it's not a significant number, we are not fully paid in full from the city with regard to everything over joint services, building, et cetera. There's still a shortfall that they have at least tentatively promised they would make up with their 2012 budget.
So, how much is that?
It was about $5,000.
$14,000. Yeah, they're waiting till 2012 to pay it.
Things are tight.
Must be. It's called gumption.
They didn't want a bond for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Supervisor Underhill.
Fleet maintenance, almost $1,000,004. What's that? Just trying to run maybe I'm looking at the wrong side. FLT maintenance.
14. Oh, fleet maintenance. There's not only the normal operating expenses are in there, but we also purchase the fuel and the parts of the city in this county for the squads. So a lot of that is reimbursed by the city.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, it is 7 o'clock. We have the Sheriff's Department on deck. Sheriff Ben.
Good evening, everyone. Are we doing the budget or the resolution?
Budget.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We weren't taking your full budget.
I thought so.
Let's get the budget first.
We can do that. All right. The chairman, members of the board, as in every year, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to give you a synopsis of our budget, hopefully explain most of the high points, and then we'll go through piece by piece and answer the questions we have. We began the budget process this year with a mandate to keep the levy the same as budget year 2011, less the impact of the savings of the change in Wisconsin retirement expense. This left us with a levy of, for 2012 of $25.5 million for our department, a reduction of about $636,000. Let's see. We are presenting a budget proposal tonight with a levy of $1.3 million reduction. That's a 5.07 decrease in the levy compared to the 2011 adopted budget. Personnel costs, salaries. Our salaries budget increased by 1.85%, and that was primarily due to the employees moving through the wage scale steps. There were no increases in wages for budget 2012 other than that. Also, 2012 is the leap year. Therefore, there are 2,088 budgeted hours, an increase of 8 hours more per employee for 2011. And we fund 342.5 FTEs. Overtime. Administration reduced the overtime budget for our department by $149,000 in anticipation of the savings of the proposed 171 hours, 28 day work schedule for correction officers. However, now this is not part of the budget, but as a policy, I would strongly like for the county board. The county has proposed 171 hours for overtime. I think you all understand what that is. Correctional officers don't get paid overtime until they reach 171 hours rather than the 40 hours like most people are used to. What I would like to see, and in the schedule that we are proposing to do for next year, we will be able to accommodate, able to absorb that extra 11 hours. So in the $149,000 reduction we have. So what I'd like for you to do is in the county policy, put it back to the same as everybody else. After 40 hours in the work week, allow the correctional officers to get paid overtime like every other employee in the county gets, rather than taking it to the 171. We are proposing to our employees next year a 5-2-4-2 work schedule, which will reduce our frequency of overtime postings for the correctional staff. And the 5-2-4-2 schedule basically is exactly the schedule that I said. What it will do is it is going to, the current schedule that they're working, they call it the federal schedule, it changes, but the basic work week is a 6-day work week. This one is every other week is a 4-day work week, and their regular scheduled hours is 216 work days. This is going to bring 252 work days. And we're going to allow them to either not work it if they don't want to work the extra 8 hours every 6.5 weeks, which is their majority, or to fill an overtime slot on a shift in the time that they would like, or we will assign it to them. So no one will be shorted hours unless they choose not to work that extra 8 hours that every 6.5 weeks. So the 5-2-4-2 schedule. So retirement, we have a significant.
Before you move on to that, what does that increase the overtime budget by?
It doesn't. It's so decreased by $149,000.
The 5-2-4-2.
It doesn't increase the overtime budget at all.
How about the salary budget?
It doesn't increase at all. What the 5-2-4-2 schedule will actually allow us to do, it will put more people in key places, and we're also going to have a power shift, the Monday through Friday shifts. And in the past, the contract allowed, it set what the schedule was. This is going to allow us to put people on Monday through Friday. And patrol, our busy times are on weekends. And the jail, our busy times are Monday through Friday. And so what we're going to do on first and second shift is we've opened it up for a few people on each of first and second shifts to work a Monday through Friday schedule. We've had about 3/4 of each of those shifts signing up for those spots. So they will be, I think, highly sought after spots of Monday through Friday. And what that will do is allow us to have the people, rather than having staff on the weekends that we don't need as many, we'll be able to focus them on Monday through Fridays. So having this 5-2-4-2 schedule and actually allowing them to work, the ability to work 8 less days in a year, this schedule will allow us to focus key people at better times. We don't have to have increased salary or overtime.
Well, it remains the same or it's reduced?
Salaries have been reduced to $149,000.
Is that what you have budgeted here? Or is this the 171?
It's
171.
You're saying it's 11 years. I think the 171 FSLA
171 is what is budgeted.
Right.
And there's savings, and I asked for that number earlier today, and what you're saying is a 5-2-4-2 schedule.
We'll be able to accommodate that savings and not have the 171.
Oh, I say 160 to save.
160, right. 171 hours.
So who's evaluated the 5-2-4-2 and the financial?
We have personnel and also Terry Neeson.
Dave, are you, you guys had a chance to evaluate?
I heard the sheriff mention that my payroll supervisor has reviewed this. I have not yet had a chance to go through a vetting of it with her. I have a meeting scheduled tomorrow. And the idea is that the policy that has the 171 in it is slated, I think, for Thursday.
Okay, so let's not get lost in the 171, the 5-2-4-2. We understand your request. Certainly, I believe this committee recalled what we adopted within the last couple months. And we'll ask for the financial verification, make sure it works within the budget.
Right, and that's purely that policy. You're not voting on that part. I'm just asking you to take that into consideration as you go through the policy.
Okay, so we'll be addressing that, and we're fully well aware of the issues there, and we'll ask administration to confirm the financial aspect of it and question it.
Sounds fine. A major part of our personnel costs is in retirement. A significant decrease is a result of the change in the expense of the Wisconsin retirement mandated by the state, 5.9% going paid back by the employees. Medical insurance is only a slight increase to the cost of premiums for the health care of 2012. And we realize a significant reduction in our budget for health costs because the county administration moved the health premium costs of our retirees out of our budget and to a separate countywide retiree health insurance budget. Our overall personnel costs are reduced by 2.41% or $748,000. Contractual services. We're able to keep the estimated budget for contractual service to nearly the same level as 2011. Some increases were necessary for inmate medical services, radio maintenance, and building equipment maintenance. Overall, the increase in contractual services for 2012 is less than 1%. Supplies. Again, we're able to keep the budgets for operating supplies at 2011 levels, primarily due to very little in requests for levy dollars to fund furniture, fixtures, and machinery equipment needs. There is a slight increase in food and grocery budget. The 2012 fuel budget proposed remains pretty much the same as last year. However, we will experience a shortfall in the current year and propose to fund the expected shortfalls with surplus revenues. Excluding capital expenditures, our department operating budget for 2012 is 2% less than the adopted budget for 2011. Revenues. We have increased our projection for department general revenues by $602,000. This increase is primarily due to three revenue sources. Federal inmate housing, we're proposing to raise our level for 2012 to 250. Currently, we're on track. We've been averaging about 264 inmates a day the last part of this year, and it seems to kind of track usually this part of the year with the feds, is we're averaging about 237 a day right now through the end of the year, which is what we're anticipating. A second part of our revenues to increase is the extended supervision of violators program. We're increasing that by $174,000. We began this with a memorandum of understanding in 2010 with the Department of Corrections. And what we're doing is we're housing people for the state for $51 a day versus corrections, probation and parole housing, where we are usually getting about $19 a day. So we're upping our that by $174,000. The third revenue source is the I-94 mitigation. They're going to start, and they've already seen I-94. They've been starting the construction on I-94. We have received a contract through the Department of Transportation for $127,000, and that's to fund deputies' presence on there for one shift a day.
So that is being funded from the state while that is construction,
correct, for the next 2 years.
should be for the next 2 years.
Is that full compensation?
Yep. The sheriff's capital expenditure plan for 2012 states $1.5 million. However, we discovered recently that a project replaced in our plan also appears in IT's budget. So we ask this committee to make a motion to reduce our 2012 capital budget by $106,000. This was for the upgrade of Spot digital video recorders. The reduction changes our plan to $1.439 million. One third of this expense is for a plan to build a storage facility on the detention center grounds. Funding for this is anticipated to come from the federal housing revenue that exceeds our budgeted $250 a day. To meet the revenue to afford the additional $550,000 for the storage facility, we would need to average about 271 inmates a day. It was explained to me that sometime mid-year, we would be looking to see how our numbers were panning out through 2012. If it appears that we are going to meet in that 271 per day, we will start moving forward with the project or present it, that we'll move forward with it through the county. And if it doesn't, the first needs, as they have in the past, is to meet our department's expenses, as with medical expenses, overtime, and that would come first. But if we can average the 271 a day, and we will push forward with this plan to build a storage building. And what this would do, I think we've brought up this committee before, is one thing that our department lacks is one central location for all of our equipment. Our mobile command center, our speed sign, our our armored car, we have our snowmobiles, ATVs, all the equipment we have is scattered through Guam. It's scattered into the 45 and 50. There's some down here. There's some at Romano's, a storage facility. What we want to do is build one pole barn to hold all this equipment in one place and make sure that it is secured and taken care of, and it's close and it's right behind the detention center. We've got a wide open space. So this plan is, if we can manage and pull off the 271 a day, meet all of our expenses, we would put this in for start building this in the last half of 2012.
So this is projecting department-wide that you're going to have a surplus of 550, or going to hit that number. That's what you're talking about, not just looking at this line item, but clearly looking at the sheriff's department, that they're going to be in a surplus situation. They will take them.
Yes. We're going to take into consideration any other shortfalls that may happen. Fuel goes up. Food goes up.
So do you ever put squads out there? Is there ever a plan to put squad cars out there and have cars roll out of there and tie into the detention center?
That isn't part of the plan. This building, the $550,000, truly would barely cover the equipment that we have, but it would be set up that we could expand on it in the future in case more equipment. We probably put a chain link fence around the store of the vehicles that would be out at Romano's right now. So this is just kind of covers the equipment that we currently have, but there will be a plan to make it grow if that need arises. A substation out there, we haven't really looked at that. I don't know that would be a huge time savings for us, because the 45 and 50, for a squad to get from here to the detention center, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, somewhere along that line, if you really had to get there someplace quick. But the 45 and 50 out in the center of the county, that would be a true somewhere down the road, and maybe past my time, I don't know. But depending on exactly how the economy goes and down the road. But I think that'd be the best spot, centrally located in the county, 45 and 50. So we haven't pushed for that.
Certainly several years ago, there was a lot of debate about that. And when we looked at that, we were hoping that 2012, 2013, we would be able to fold that substation into the budget. I know when we made that vote, I know Supervisor Alderman didn't want the supervisor to forget about that commitment. I hope that you'll do that someday.
And actually,
this may make it easier for that substation. If we can house our major pieces of equipment in one pole building, that was going to be part of the substation, was holding all this equipment. If we can accommodate that, the substation itself could be much smaller. I mean, we don't have to put dispatch in there like we were planning on doing years ago, or the medical examiner, or all those other pieces into it. Not that some other pieces couldn't fold into it down the road, but if we built the substation, it really would just hold offices for some supervisors, locker rooms, a few meeting rooms, and then storage for the squad cars out there. So the size of that substation could be much smaller, and if the truth is, I'm sitting thinking about it right now, it wouldn't be the project that we were looking at years ago. So it could be in the not too distant future, if you really look at what has to be out there, and it isn't like what it was planned years ago to be.
So you believe that this location then in the long-term plan, putting out the detention center where it's going to be?
I believe it is, because a lot of our calls for service for a lot of this equipment, the mobile command, not necessarily the snowmobiles or ATVs, but a lot of the equipment that we have comes into the city. So at the detention center is a very good place. If the city keeps growing west, which I think we're all in kind of a stall for growth right now, that isn't a bad spot for it to be right for many years to come. But the substation for patrol, I still believe 45 and 50 is the heart of the county, and that's where that should be.
What size building are you talking about?
At the detention center?
Yes.
Oh man, there's plans for it. I don't remember. That you can.
This is just like a warehouse or a big garage.
Yeah. How many square feet?
Yeah, that's what I don't remember off the top of my head. We can pull in. Command posts, and we can park the boat, and we can park our trucks and stuff in there. So it's decent size, but to grow, if we pick up any more equipment or things like that, we would have to grow.
You said pole building. Now I know that you can build a pole building that size for practically what you're talking about, because I did. You're talking some more than a pole building.
It's going to have. I know my cousin built a 80 by, I think, 100 foot or whatever, 140 foot pole building for about $55,000, but it doesn't have concrete. So this is all concrete. It's going to have electric throughout, so you can plug in all the equipment. It's going to also have the ability to heat it above freezing. It's going to have separate overhead doors, so you can pull the equipment in and out without having to worry about maneuvering it back and through everything. And it's going to be insulated, so they can keep it up above freezing.
Mr. Chairman, anything else in your presentation, or are you still...
There is, I have just a little bit more, but...
Keep going. Carry on. I'll finish.
Let's see. A few other items we were looking to purchase for bonded money for 2012. We found out in the blizzard of 2011 that we're under, we don't have enough four-wheel drive vehicles. So one thing we'd like to do is get two more big four-wheel drive pickup trucks to go pick up our employees if we have to for another such emergency. We're going to continue to refurbish the weather alert sirens that are in the county. And we did look at the possibility of just start buying them new since they're older. And we did find out that we can refurbish them to as good, if not better, than some of the new that's out there, and that was the best way to go. In partnership with Joint Services, we're looking to replace the electronic fingerprinting equipment. We're looking to replace a couple of radio base stations to comply with the digital readiness mandates and install guard quarter monitoring system in both facilities to more effectively and efficiently store correctional guard activity.
Supervisor Green.
Just want to go back to page 9. This is the line of salaries and overtime. This $1,028,000, that's based upon which particular work schedule? 171, which is the FSLA?
That's what I understand.
That's what we passed.
All right. So I know we're going to revisit that again, so I'm not going to spend any more time there. On page 3, we're taking a look at the FTEs here. And the only significant change I can see is that we're looking at relief cook going down to, and the other cooks going up to, or vice versa. Can you comment on that?
Title of the position change.
Yeah.
So they're all relief cooks and not just cooks.
And how does that benefit you, or what's the thought there?
I think
it helps with scheduling because if they're relief cooks, they can bounce back and forth between shifts and I think even facilities.
So as far as those FTEs go, it's just a wash.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my question.
Any other questions?
Question on the pole building, if you get to the point of building it, obviously you require just enough heat to keep the building above freezing for the most part. Probably not going to be a cool building. Might be an option to look at a geothermal system, something that we're not so dependent and reliant on fuel costs are going to continue to go up. So I don't know if we can take a look at that or not. Sounds good.
Chairman?
Yeah.
Did you say that building itself, you were looking at taking excess jail revenues and paying for that out of that?
Yes.
Not bonding?
Correct.
That might be a good source bond for this rather than bonding for the bottom line. Is he saying he's going to take excess jail revenue for that?
This is, this bond is continuing. Surplus insurance. So if he doesn't have a surplus, he doesn't have to. We're going to get into a bond budget.
I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. I mean, this was a good point because that's what he brought up.
Questions? In your county ordinance and fines, it's projecting $160,000 per year. That's on page 12. Account number 445020, and we're budgeting 253, the same number as last year. Are we really running a deficit there?
Well, we did the beginning part of this year. We did not start our TIU, our trafficking addiction unit, until it's either June 1st or July 1st, June 1st, I believe. The first traffic citations, we will not see the revenues from that until October, November of this year. When it actually starts coming in, right about now, we should start to see the first traffic revenue starting to actually come up. We knew that our personnel was going to be short at the beginning of the year. We tried to get them out as soon as we could, and finally in June, we just said, let's put them out there. So they have been doing very well. Revenue should be starting to flow in as we speak. So we are projecting our numbers to be better than what is current for 2011. Okay. Follow that?
Yep. I just recall last year's budget debate. We had those officers to get that number. That's, I was just. Do you have anything relative to your jail inmate daily totals or revenues that you have? Did you bring anything? I think I may have sent an email to Mr. Pearson today.
Current year,
just current year, what we're, where we're projecting to end up, and what are the, Sheriff, you may have said that, I may have missed the number, where average daily totals are. I'm concerned about the,
there's three values.
The number in the operating budget that, that's attainable. On the other side of the coin, to do this billing, it's an F.
This is a projection for this year.
Okay. I'll go through each month of what our average was. In January, our average was 299 a day. In February, it was 293 a day. In March, it was 269. April, 271. May, 256. June, 268. July, it was 260. August, it was 251. September, we dropped down to 238. And right now, we're looking at 240 a day, possibly 243 a day. So we're looking at a projected for the end of 2011 of $7,083,000.
So we're budgeting,
we budgeted 6.5, and we're looking at a projected surplus of $570,000 at this point.
Okay, so I see 6.830. Is that because there's other inmates in there? In line item 445801, I see 6.830.
So that's proposed for 2012.
Is that 2012?
Yes, 2012. So I'm just looking at the,
that's at 250 a day.
So that's 250 a day. Is what,
correct. That includes transportation costs, reimbursements as well.
So this, based on the 2011 projection, assuming everything stays the same, those numbers are attained. Is that what you're saying?
We're looking at, yes. Yes, we can figure out the correct daily average.
Any other discussion? Any questions? Supervisor Singer. Second by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Eckernes. Any further discussion? Supervisor Alvarez.
One question. The surplus that we're talking about using for the storage facility, is that the same surplus that we're talking about using for the emergency response vehicle?
The emergency response vehicle that they're talking about is a 2011 surplus. The building is for the 2012 surplus if they have one, if they hit that level. So if they don't hit, number one, we have 6.8 million budgeted there for 2012. They're estimating just over 7 million for 2011. In the capital part of their budget, they have 500, might be 550, 550 budgeted in inmate housing. So in the budget resolution, we're going to have a contingency that they need to, not so much that line item, but they need to show a surplus, project a surplus in the department by some point in the year, and then have action by likely the Finance and Administration Committee to allow them to proceed, or whether it goes to the town board.
I would hope that this committee, quite a difference there. You're talking about not even knowing what you're going to receive for $500,000. It's going to be a pole barn. It's going to be a pole barn three times the size. What exactly are you voting on?
Supervisor Overman, I think what we'll do in the resolution is require, and I think it would be required anyways, that it go through, I might get the name of the committee wrong, but the facilities and that committee to approve the project, or the proper oversight committees, and then we have the verification that they are going to hit the surplus, because it's contingent upon hitting a target, and once we do that, we move forward. So my guess is that I'll be working on the plans, bringing it to the committee, oversight committees, then there'll be a financial review, and then they'll get the green light.
This just seems very sloppy on their part, stuff they're receiving, not even knowing what size building. One is three times larger than the first that we heard. Oh, I think we have to slow this down and know exactly what we're talking.
Mr. Harvey.
The only thing I can comment on is I know that when we put the, we worked with the sheriff's department, put an estimate together, worked with an architect, and there is actually, I mean, there is science behind that number. I just don't recall what it is right now. I didn't anticipate that question. But there was, we worked with a local architect and engineered out, kind of, you know, X number it out, the square foot floor, and the type of building that the sheriff described. So there is science behind it, and we can get that to the committee, it's not a problem. Just, I don't recall where it is off the top of my head.
We will, within the resolution, we'll address the proper approvals, and we'll go from there. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I want to make sure that motion.
Yes.
The motion included the reduction of the 160 capital.
Yes.
I want to make sure we make that motion.
That's what you intended, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, that's how
there was a capital expenditure that was double counted in two capital budgets, and they eliminated one. And you've got to know about what we want in the solution. Okay. The next item that we have under the Sheriff's Department is to modify the 2011 budget to recognize surplus revenue to cover the anticipated expenditures. It is now 7:33. Sheriff Ben.
What we're asking for today is to use some of the anticipated surplus to cover expenses for the Sheriff's Department. The amount, $209,000 in unanticipated revenue. And we're going to transfer $50,000 from other operating line items for a total of $259,000 and cover expected operating expense deficits.
Extra resolution.
I don't.
Okay. Resolution in your packet that went out. Here's an extra copy of something. This is the original. If someone wants to have the original to look at.
Basically, we're looking for one of the largest parts of this is inmate medical services, and this is one of those items that you never know year to year what you need to budget for. We had some large inmate medical costs this year. So part of the unanticipated revenue we like to, I mean, it's $134,000 in that alone. A big one is to bill for fuel, about $80,000. And I'm sure you all realize how fuel has jumped up and down the course of this year. Pharmaceuticals, another one for inmates, about $35,000. And some other officers' equipment, ammunition, and a piece of machinery for $1,800 for the bomb unit. So that is roughly the $259,000 that we're looking to use in unanticipated revenue. And we do this. This is customary this time of year that we use that revenue to cover these types of expenses. And a lot of this goes actually, well, some of this goes for another federal institution.
Any questions?
We carved out the vehicles that are standing
from. We'll be bringing a separate resolution forward as soon as we have a few things that Supervisor Singer brought up to us to fine tune, so we can present to the judiciary and law in the near future for the mobile command post that we're trying to get.
So, based on your projection for 2011, and with this budget modification, what are you intending your surplus to be without discussing this vehicle?
about 1.3 million.
With this taken out already?
Correct, because my projections for the 2011 budget, you have your the column for year end, already include the fact that fuel, pharmaceuticals, and inmate medical services would be those costs, realized costs by the end of the year. So that's already worked in to some information I gave you regarding our year end. About 1.3 million.
So after this, we're at 1.3 after we do this?
Correct.
Okay. Al, when we were looking at our budget, our general fund analysis, as with the Y show, what are we projecting to come from the Sheriff's Department surplus? Do you recall that number?
It was 800,000.
Okay. So you're at about 1.3?
You want to discuss the mold manual?
No, I don't. But I just want to understand when that comes forward. I just want to have a very clear financial analysis of how you expect 2011 to finish up, and that that our finance department at least review that in a time period.
Got it.
Supervisor Bode.
Just a question of maybe housekeeping on sundry department revenue 448520.
We're on this resolution.
Oh,
no, we haven't acted on this. We've I think we voted on the budget. So on the resolution, it's been moved by Supervisor Eckert and second by Supervisor Singer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have the original to play the
part? Yes, I'm going to get it. Are we done with the Sheriff's Department now? Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a recess until quarter two. Seven. We'll go to the public works budget, pages 45 to 132.
2012, and on the bottom is all the individual items that make up that levy change. If we want to refer to that, we can, but I figured we'd work mostly out of the book.
Yeah, I like to go from the back of the deck becomes part of the
Okay. The book is in the order of facilities, golf, parks, and highway. If I could, I'd like to bring the parks people up first.
Just say, tell us what page you're going through, and we'll...
Okay, parks starts on page 73. And you want to do the operating part, then go right into the capital, or you want to do all the operating, and then all the capital?
Yes. Okay.
At 21.3 people, budgeted at 22.6 for next year. We eliminated a rep position from the 11 budget to the 12 budget, but we backfilled the additional hours and therefore the additional FTE with seasonal people, and the total parks payroll budget as a result goes down to $3,900. So even though there's an extra FTE, the dollar's down. Do you need to go through line by line, or I'm not sure your normal...
Just hit the highlights and any significant changes. You know, there's everything pretty much the same relative. You don't really have to hit it. You just kind of hit the highlights.
All right. There's a decrease in the retirement expense of close to $40,000 in the parks division. We had less reps. I think that's the main reason.
Al wants to make a comment here.
I want to make a comment. I think the sheriff had really addressed it. I think it's page 370, or page 375. We have taken all the departments paid for, in the past, have paid for all the retirees in their department that individual retired from that person's insurance from the time they were 60 to 65, their OPEB was budgeted for their department budget. We moved that all out of their department budget to an individual budget so that we can keep track of the total amount we're paying for retiree insurances and manage the OPEB liability. Also, if you go to page 375, I think you'll see those items were all pulled out of the department budget for the 2012 budget. I apologize, I wanted to address that before we started our budget hearing. So if you see health insurance go down for department's budgets, most often that's the effect of us moving those retirees out of the department's budget.
Okay.
There was a decrease in the professional services budget of $25,000 from 11 to 12. That is a result of 2011, we had sewer pack come in and do a park study. We don't have anything in the 2012 budget for that. We have an increase in fuel in the 2012 budget. What we did was we took an average of the amount of gallons of fuel that the various departments had used over the past few years, made an estimate for fuel usage in 2012 and multiplied it by a number of $3.30, which sort of approximates the pay for the amount we're paying right now per gallon.
That's tax off.
Yeah, for tax off. We pay different amount. We pay $3.40, we pay $3.20, we pay $3.50. It seems to be averaging around $3.30. So we use that number for all of the public works departments. Everybody had a fuel increase from last year, where I think the number that was used was around 280 or 290. There's a decrease in major repairs from budget to budget, and this year we had to do some roof repairs at Pringle and I think Anderson.
Everything sold at Pringle?
Yes.
That's pretty much a summary of the operating side of the parks budget. In total, the levy is $45,000, $46,000 lower in 12 than it was in 11.
Can I ask you about that Anderson Art Center? Are you going to fix that fence that is all cracked and one end is fallen? Or are you going to remove it?
At this point, we anticipate, we're working on developing an overall game plan for that property, the house as well as the rest of the property. The part of the fence that's damaged, we do anticipate taking that down just to get that cleaned up because the money
right
now. It looks bad right now. And we want to preserve or at least minimize what we're going to have to do to the fence so we can, when we do have to address the building issues, which are substantial, we don't want to put any money in the fence. We want to put it in the house itself.
When are you going to take the fence down?
We're looking at being able to do that this year yet. We'd like to try to, so that's sure. The game plan.
Tibbs, you said your levy was down.
The park's capital budget is on page 81.
Yeah.
The top part of that page, there's some smaller items that accumulate up to $125,000. Purchasing some picnic tables and barbecue grills, kind of replenish the supply of those that are destroyed or stolen every year. Below that is, people are chuckling, but it happens. You can drive around the county and see them in people's yards. Then there's four capital items. There's Kemper Center Capital. We do that every year. That's $50,000, or typically we bonded for that and then just given it to Kemper.
The only thing I want to add on that, though, is that this year at the Public Works Committee, there was formal action taken to require Kemper to provide a quarterly report as to the use of that money, the specific use of that money, as well as develop an overall long-term capital improvement plan, which I think they have. It hasn't been shared with us on a regular, hasn't been shared with the law, as far as I know. So we want to get that so we know what that money is being used for and kind of what their plans are going forward. The committee took formal action on that.
Ray, do you remember off the top of your head, I don't, I should, who the county board liaison is with him? That John, supervisor?
At the administrative level, it's John. He sits on the building and grounds committee. At the board level, is that who?
There's $50,000 for playground equipment.
No, I will ask a question. Did your committee receive any updates from Ron?
We have not. At building ground, we haven't gotten any updates from Supervisor Frederick.
On what?
On Kemper, just kind of a general.
Never.
We'll be monitoring that to make sure we get these quarterly reports and see how they're spending the money. $50,000 for playground equipment, mostly for the West End. There's a tractor in there for, it'll be used to cut the grass on bike paths. And then there's a one-ton truck used at the parks for snow plowing and whatever other miscellaneous things that they have. And I do believe that also in the winter, while the truck's not being used at parks, it's going to be used by facilities or by job center to plow their snow.
And one of the things just to expound on a little bit is that we're attempting now in those areas where we've had trucks in the past, typically when we use them in facilities, they rot out before they wear out just from sitting outside. So this is one of those vehicles we're attempting to share. We've done a couple things like this already where we've shared Bobcats where John uses them out in parks in the summertime and they come back down here at the safety building or courthouse so that they use them in the wintertime as opposed to having one sitting 6 months of the year either at both shops. And we're doing the same thing with this truck. This is going to be used in John's shop in the summertime and it goes down to the job center in the wintertime. So we're starting
Someone we're buying a Bobcat. Sure.
Right, we are buying, we're replacing the 1984 or 85 Bobcat on the Civic campus here. Yep.
That's pretty much it for parks.
So, just a question I have is on page 79. I see reserves for $55,000.
That's going to be used to purchase this truck. There's leftover bonded money, I understand, from 2011 that can be used to purchase this truck in 2012.
Mr. Schwartz.
As you recall, our last bond issue, I think we had $107,000 in additional surplus bonded dollars. We used some of that money for what did you bring in last year?
Yeah, the parking structure.
That circle, that deficit we had in the parking structure, to finish up the parking structure, we used, I think, $38,000 for that, and then we're using $55,000 to fund this vehicle instead of issuing more bonding.
So, is that the proper terminology, reserves?
Yeah, it's reserves from the capital. It's not general fund reserves, it's reserves from the capital fund.
And that's what that object is there? It's a different.
Yeah, the business unit or the fund is 411 versus capital.
Okay.
Capital fund.
Okay.
That's the only reserve we have in our budget. I heard some comments before. That's the only item we have is we're using reserve funds and capital, nothing in operating side.
Okay. The next item?
If you want to, just going to do the whole thing at once instead of department by department. Okay, facilities is up. That's on page 45.
Okay. I'll just ask if there is any questions of parts John's going to take off. So we're going to...
Thanks for coming.
Good job, John.
Good job.
Facilities. The total levy for 2011 was about $3.3 million. Next year, that's going to go up by $285,000 to about $3.6 million. I'll run you through the major changes why that's going to go up. There'll be an increase in payroll and facilities of $20,000. They still have the union. Those are regular step increases. There's no change, and FTE is the exact same amount from year to year. There's a decrease in retirement of $5,000. I think Al explained that before. Medical insurance, there'll be a small decrease of $16,000. Where we have a larger increase in maintenance agreements, there's a $65,000 increase, and $56,000 of that is because we put some new equipment in some of the facilities 2 years ago, and we got away with not having to pay any maintenance fees in the first year, but now they're hitting.
What
line
item is that?
Maintenance agreement, I'm sorry.
Is that 49?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find it.
The 2012 budget is $65,500. Oh, you know what? What I'm doing is talking in total. What's in the budget book here on page 49 is just, there's a campus business unit of all the departments around here, then there's a separate one for public safety building, and then there's a separate one for the job center. I'm just talking about accumulated, most of that, or that $65,000 increase is at the safety building.
So on the operating side, on page 49, everything looks to be pretty much stable.
Yeah.
So we're on page 50?
Yes. There's a revenue item there for parking space lease. We're planning on having $6,000. We're projecting that for this year. Last year it was $5,500. And the campus capital spending is on page 52. There's some smaller items for less than $25,000. Replacing the chiller overflow basin out at KCC. We're going to fix an I-beam that's supporting the walls at the detention center. And then we have $20,000 in to do some antenna restoration work at various facilities, primarily KCC and here.
Well, it'll be all four of our lattice tower antennas. And that restoration is a little not totally clear, because we're really just going to be looking at, we're doing an inventory on all four of those structures to see exactly what we've got, as well as do a structural analysis of each of those to see if what we've got up there is supported, is actually safely supportive of the current situation. Because what we found out when we did the safety building was the lattice tower on that building was significantly overloaded with equipment. So we want to go through and basically take care of all of our antennas, take an inventory, see exactly what's needed. And this, there's some additional money, I think, in a maintenance account to cover if we do encounter any actual maintenance things that need to be addressed. This is really to do the inventory and structural analysis on the four towers.
There was an amendment made by the Public Works and Facilities Committee relative to replacing the piping.
Yeah, it was reduced from, I think, from 75 to either 45 or 40.
45.
At the time we put the budget book together, that was our estimate. Then we got some quotes, and the quotes came in lower than what we anticipated. So when we had the meeting with the Oversight Committee, we told them that this number should come down.
Were there any other adjustments made by the committee?
No.
That was the only adjustment.
That was the dollar.
And to clarify, there will be something coming to the committee then. Is what had happened was, like, a week before our budget presentation at Public Works, the bids came in for this, for the detention center project, and also the Friday before that, water main broke at the job center. And we dug it out that weekend, kind of band-aided it for the time being, but we left that trench open. It's not open, but it's just filled with gravel. It wasn't permanently filled. So we will be coming with a request to repurpose that money before the end of the year to get that water main situation squared away down there.
You found another spot for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the budget that we need to approve needs to have 75,000 or 45 for this line item, and then another 30 for something else?
45 is what this got adjusted to at the committee, and like I say, we're going to, because there's 75 in this year's budget and the 2011 budget, we're going to come in with a memo. I was just making you aware of that because it's going to be coming in probably.
Okay, so for 2012, that line item, replacing piping on page 52, needs to be changed to 45,000.
Correct.
So when we make a motion to pass this, it's going to be at the $45,000 number as recommended by the committee.
Okay.
Yep.
Page 54, this is the public safety building budget. There's a line item on there called refuse pickup. It is underneath the contractual section. We have $30,000 in there with really no history. We put something in the budget in anticipation of maybe the waste management charging us for that service going forward. And if we do, since this is a public safety building item, we may have to include it in our bill back. So to be,
are you ready?
I'm on page 54,
yes.
Just about dead in the middle of the page where it says refuse pickup. It's a 2012 item for 30,000. We haven't spent that prior. Waste management has always provided that service gratis.
And I see on the agenda, do we have a proposal on?
Also on that page, is what I was referring to, the building equipment maintenance, where there's an uptick from this year, we're expecting 76 to next year of 107. That 31,000, that's a big chunk of this maintenance agreement on equipment that we have to pay next year that we have here before not had to pay.
That's specifically for the crack units, which are the air conditioning units up in the data center and the radio equipment room, as well as the new generator, both generators, and we'll put under that policy.
We have a planned increase to a 14,000 in for building maintenance supplies for the public safety building also, just to cover anticipated things that we think we'll have to repair. Other than that, those are the major increases for the public safety building on the operating side. We do have a change here, though, in the revenue that has been billed from the county back to the city. It's at the bottom of page 55. Those are the revenues. For jail traffic fines, we're pretty much budgeting the same amounts as we've historically had, maybe a little uptick. But the safety building chargeback, which is anticipated to be $828,000 this year, is going to drop to $650,000 next year.
And that's what we talked about in the joint services.
Correct. The offset for PD for police department void service.
Okay. So that goes to the question on page 56. That's the reason our levy's going up.
Yeah.
In that area. And that's the number we anticipated to be going forward.
Right. It should be pretty stable now. It may take us a couple of years into the formula the way it goes forward.
Okay, the capital for the public safety building is on page 57. There's the Bobcat. And then there's also $65,000 in there to replace one of the air conditioning units in the public safety building. The job center facilities portion of their budget starts on page 59. On this page, again, on page 59, there's a refuse pickup number of $10,000, which we never had before. So that's the other location where we put it in the budget because we have to bill back for services we provide, and we want to make sure that we include that in there because that is an increase from prior year. Maintenance supplies, we just picked that up a little bit. That building's now 20 years old, and the maintenance keeps increasing every year.
Remodeling
of it's 20 years old. That's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot happening budget expense change or operating changes at the human services building. Their capital is on page 62, I believe. There's one item in there. They have four bathrooms that are old. We plan on remodeling two of them in 2012. $49,000. So the total change in the levy for facilities is an increase of $285,000. Out of that $285,000, just to kind of summarize it up, is the safety building rental is $170,000 increase, the refuse pickup is $40,000 increase, and these new maintenance agreements is $55,000 increase. Those three items make up almost all the change in that levy. We should probably talk about, I don't know if you want to do the capital projects now, because there is some capital projects. There's the courthouse for continuation remodel, $2,750,000.
Is it all the operating?
It's all the operating for facilities. There's a capital project section for there's three or four projects.
Okay.
Let's see that.
What page?
Let's see.
Yeah, it's toward the end of this section. I think page 108. Well, I was just going to talk about the capital projects section.
Do you guys see something? Is that for the whole thing? Or?
Well, there's $900,000 for the fiber ring, which ends up as a capital project.
You're on 108?
Yeah, I'm on page 108. that project. There's the continuation of the courthouse across the street here. That's $2,750,000. That's on page 128.
Page 129.
129, sorry.
Now,
Parkland is the last project. It's a $75,000 project.
What's that?
That's the, we get money from waste management, and then we just turn around and put it into the Parkland Development Fund. Those are the only three projects and capital projects for 2012. Any other questions on facilities or capital projects?
So the our revenue from waste management is going from 250 down to 75. Is that what we're anticipating in the contract? You can tell us.
Yes.
Why is that?
The Corporation Council is going to address that tomorrow. So apparently, waste management came back to the county and Paris and said we need to renegotiate due to their tipping fees and their volume being down.
Okay, what else do you have for us? As far as facilities or capital projects, that's the extent of it.
Okay.
The next area would be golf.
Golf.
Which begins on page 63. Thank you, Ryan.
You won, Ryan.
I'm here. Right here.
So, just a, there was a study that we talked about that was going to be coming out. I think last week we sat down with the consultant, or the consultants actually, Heritage College had a consulting group. It was the first year under the direction of their professors and some students, several students. And they went through and they took a look at economic impact in Kenosha County, what the golf operation has. And for some reason, $11 million brings a...
It's from $8.5 to almost $12 million is what the economic impact
so of that portion. They did an analysis similar to once upon a time we did the, when we were looking at the casino, they did a study on the multiplier effect of what the casino was going to have. They looked at property value, sales tax, wages, all of those items. They took a look at the Red Nine, and in short, I think that they came to the conclusion that we would save about $110,000 roughly a year to do away with that. That study, I believe, is going to be provided to all the supervisors, and we're going to have a presentation, I believe it's at the November 15th meeting at the county board, so all the supervisors are going to get that. One of the things that they said relative to the Red Nine, though, is not to have a knee-jerk reaction, to have a planned approach to shutting that down. So certainly that's out there, and it's probably more of the facilities and parks or whatever the committee is called, their purview to really take a look at that and decide whether they want to, any adjustments that they may want to make for next year. So we have the budget as if we're operating the different rock rating, 45 holes out there, and everything is the same.
But you say we can save 110,000 by shutting down 9 holes?
There was an analysis in that it was roughly 110. Is that about
112,000.
Yeah. So.
Shouldn't we have that analysis before we vote on the budget, not afterwards?
Well, if I could, Mr. Chairman, you will have that report on your desk, I believe, this week, certainly the next county board meeting. The discussion of the committee that met on the golf course to review it, which was made up of myself, Chairman of Finance, Supervisor Elverman, Supervisor Gens, Supervisor Brady, and again, we've been meeting, I think this is our third or fourth, I guess, meeting over the last month over this discussion. One of the things that I urged is that, and Chairman Clark just alluded to, is not to react to closing this golf course for the 2012 season without analyzing, understanding this plan that's been brought forward, and coming, that being Mr. Dreyer, his team coming forward to the county board with a longer term approach to management, operations, et cetera, of the golf course. The committee can always make a determination of what they want to do, certainly in this budget, make a reaction in 2012. I'd advise against it. I'd certainly argue against it. Certainly at this point in time, I don't really know how to vote against it. But the information is in the report. You can look at it. There'll be time between now and April when the course opens to make a decision, I guess.
And to your point, Supervisor Rose, the golf operations do not involve a levy. So it's not important that we address that right now. However, the oversight committee is going to get this study, and there's plenty of time if they decide that, hey, we think we might have another year like this last year, and we're not going to accept a deficit. They may want to make that decision and go forward with that, but I don't know that that's something that we need to get locked into because it's not a levy impact.
But we've always been feeding it with general reserve money, so.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I've long advocated 45 holes way too much. Without a study.
Okay, we'll get on to the presentation.
Okay, the golf starts on page 63. And we plan for 2012 to have really break even. And the way I understand it, this has been a plan before. I'll talk a little bit about the revenues first for 2011. Versus 2012. 2011 budgeted revenues were budgeted high.
What page are you on?
I'm following the budget book, please.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Bottom of page 69 is the revenues for the golf course. In 2010, we had greens fees, it's in the middle of the page 69. We had green fees revenues of $2,261,000. We budgeted $2,005,000. Our forecast for this year is the $2,002,000 range. The budget for this year was too high. So next year, we're conservatively budgeting about a 5% increase over this year's forecast. And then total expenditures, which are really at the top of page 68. We're planning total expenditures to equal that amount. And therefore, it involved no transfers of funds or no levy.
So that's page 67 and 68 relative to the expenses. What is the golf course projected to come in at this year as far as deficit?
$200,000. Maybe a little higher depending upon how October goes.
Last year we were at, what were we last year?
320. And that deficit includes, I do it as I've been instructed, on a cash flow basis, which is operating expenses less the debt service.
It's cash.
Yeah. Any non-cash expenses are not included in there. Just.
And we
lost 300,000.
Levy based on cash. That, yeah. Our levy is based on our cash or money.
So this year we're planning, or for 2012, the plan is to, with a 5% increase in revenues, we still have to cut expenses in order to hit that.
And it looks that the primary cuts that are happening are really in your personnel area.
Yeah, there's a $100,000 decrease in payroll, $47,000 in retirement, $11,000 in FICA holds if the payroll's down. We're going to bump up unemployment a little bit this in 2012 from 2011, because the 2011 budget is just, we're going to be over that. Other major expense increases or decreases in golf. We're going to increase fuel by $10,000 from budget to budget again. We're spending it. The budget just was not high enough. We should have a decrease in sales tax of about $13,000 from year to year, and that's just a function of how much your revenues are that you collect. And we will purchase about $4,000 less in inventory. That's either for concession or for golf course merchandise that we sell.
What goes in as appliances?
The biggest number in there is fertilizer and chemicals. About maybe 75% of that 200 some odd thousand budget is chemicals and fertilizers. There's about 10 to 11% that goes in there that's irrigation pieces, parts. There's 5 or 6% for tools and supplies, and maybe another 5 or 6% for tea and green and things like that, repairs and maintenance. But the lion's share of it is fertilizer and chemicals. We think we can cut that next year, though, by about $15,000.
And how are you doing that?
We hope to negotiate prices a little bit better, but we probably just won't spend. We just spent a lot of money this year. Two things have happened. They've really spent a lot of money increasing the quality of the golf courses. And then this year we got dumped on with the hot weather caused a lot of problems. And I don't know if anyone plays golf, but the fairways and greens, if you don't do the fairways and the tees, they'll die. So if you were out golfing this year and you saw ground fairways all over the place because of the heat, so we had to treat that on them. Pythium's the name of that. So we should be able to cut that budget down, cut from 270 or whatever it is down to 260.
So, Mr. Dreyer, give us some your input on golf.
On overall or just on...
Does that mean we're bringing revenues up by 5%, we're controlling expenses, how are we going to break even next year? What your goals were in 2011? Where we fall short and what happened?
Well,
2011, and how's it going to change for 2012?
2012, we won't have a major road construction project right in front of Brightdale, which was the main thing. Also, we have another year to refine our business plan. With this Carthage study, it's really opened my eyes to the differences between Petrifying Springs and Brightdale, and even how we can operate Brightdale as separate facilities. One of the things that I'm excited about is, I would like to operate the Red Nine, if it remains open, as kind of a loss leader, where we have a set $10 for 9, 17, or $18 for 18, have it a lot less expensive. That would be one of the areas that we're going to cut some supplies there, cut the maintenance down a little bit, have it a more beginner's course, have it being able to bring people into the game. You know, trying to build the golfers. The PGA initiative right now is a golf 2.0, and it's building, you know, how many golfers are in this area, bringing people in. I think in the budget we have an additional $5,000 for advertising, increased marketing. You know, so it's a combination of things that I really feel that you know, we will use to get to that point. You know, we were successful in building our outings this year, but unfortunately the number of players in each outing went down. You know, so hopefully you know, we can rebound on that and continue to build the outings. We were successful in building leagues this year. We added two additional leagues. We had more league play per league member. So again, if we can continue to build on that, add more leagues, had another, 20 players or so bypasses this year compared to in the past. You know, so again, if we can continue to build on the pass sales, showing what value that we offer, showing the inexpensive recreation that we offer, you know, it's a lot of little things, I think, that's going to help us push, you know, and we're asking for 5% increase in you know, revenue. It's not like it's, you know, like we have come in the past with 10 or 12% increase. You know, so it's going to be controlling expenses. You know, we have both facilities, I feel, at a great conditions that we can just maintain them instead of trying to improve them any better. So I think by, you know, increased marketing, you know, refining the business plan, and, you know, continuing on with the efforts that we have been, you know, I think we can increase the revenues to that point where, you know, hopefully we're covering expenses.
A couple of things, too, Mr. Chairman, is that Dan put together a follow-up report to last year's business plan that gives, he summarized a couple of those statistics, there's more than that, in a written document, as well as he put together a 2012 business plan, as well as the chair of the committee. So
has that been provided to us?
I have it now.
He just put it together.
I think if perhaps you could just at least pass it out. I don't know that we need to go through it, but so at least the supervisor will have it.
Okay.
We're going to pass this tentatively tonight, and to talk about your capital expenditure?
Yes. Capital for golf is on page 71. Top part of page 71, there's $76,000 there in smaller items that are underneath $25,000. Then towards the bottom, there's three items. There's $400,000 for golf course restoration irrigation, which would be on the white or the blue.
Wait,
there's the 27 holes out there that are old. There's three on the nine, three on the white, and three on the red. The irrigation restoration money would just not be spent on the red, depending upon what decisions are made regarding that future.
So I just real quick, in the resolution, I want to make it very clear that in our resolution, that we're directing that there are to be no capital improvements made in the red. I think we said that was going to be the case, but that there are going to be no capital improvements in the red line.
Correct. Mowers and mowing equipment is $160,000. I think that's four items. We originally had something else in there, but Larry Stanek, who runs the Pets Golf Course, threw a name in a drawing and won a
$38,000
more. So that helped us keep our budget down for next year. And then we'll pave the cart paths on, not the red. Well, it's kind of a two-year plan. It's about $240,000 to do the white and or the blue. And we did a payback analysis, and the payback is about 9.5 years. It'll take the payback, and those cart paths can last anywhere between 15 and 20 years, depending upon how you do it. So, yeah, I know in the capital section we included the payback. I'm pretty sure it's in there.
So explain the significance of CarCast. Why do we use them? There's some people say that gravel is just fine. Why do we need to have CarCast?
Currently, when we have groups that go out all following one another to get to the different holes, I mean, all you do is get a face full of dust, and you know, that's your first experience on the golf course. That's part of it. That's when it's dry. When it's wet, we get big potholes, we get washouts. There's a lot of maintenance put into keeping the cart paths playable. I mean, they're very bumpy. They're very, when it does rain, we get big potholes in there. Then we get people driving around these potholes because they don't want to go through, you know, that deep of water with the golf cars. And then right next to the cart path, you know, you destroy the turf next to it. So, I mean, there's days that we cannot allow carts out on the golf course because of the conditions of the cart paths. And then we lose cart revenue, and you know, there's been days where we've lost up to 8 outings in one day because carts were not allowed. They just stopped playing. I know this year alone, we lost about 10 or 12 outings due to weather and you know, not being able to have the golf carts out there. And when the cart paths are destroyed, it just takes all kinds of man hours, non-value-added man hours, to get them back into shape or playing shape.
So there are days that you have to shut you can't have golfers that want to ride carts golf.
Right.
And how many days would you say that would have been this last year?
Well, I know there was at least 12 days that we had to have no carts out on the golf course. Because of the rain.
This is just a question. With a 9.5-year payback, as you would say, isn't there lower hanging fruit that we should be addressing? It seems like a long payback.
It is, but relative to the life of the path, with minimal maintenance, we should get closer to 20 years. 15 is a conservative estimate. We should get 20 years. And it is repeatedly, it was anecdotally the number one complaint that we thought that Dan would hear about from customers is the cart paths. Whether they're local folks that drive, it's the number one complaint. When Carthage did their study, and also was when they did 400 surveys, which you'll hear, that was also the number one complaint out there was the cart path condition. So between the actual payback part of it, as well as what it brings to the table from an overall customer experience standpoint, you know, if you can put a number to that, it may have a bigger impact than just that 9.5-year return on investment, crunching those numbers in that way.
And then just the last question, to do the whole project, or to do all the cart paths, you're saying this is about half of what we need?
If we do this
will cover
piece,
the blue.
Yeah, what would we have underpaid? We've got about 10-mile total of cart paths at Brightondale. And having this done gets us to about how many miles done?
It's about 6.5.
6.5, so we've got about 3.5 miles left to pay.
I believe
roughly.
That's rough estimates, yes.
So that's in the capital budget for future years, and then we'll have everything paid?
Correct. We have the plans to pave the blue course, the 18, so it'll be entirely paved, and we will not lose revenues on those days. We can have people playing the blue course. That would be in 2012, and then we'll ask again in 2013 to pave the white course, and then everything will be developed.
I guess it's just an aside, is that the plan would be to have the highway department, they had done the paving this year, and it turned out really nice, and it was done pretty darn efficiently. It was very quickly put down. So we got a new paver this year, a small paver to do those kinds of projects, and it worked out very well.
We did about 2 miles of paving this year.
How many?
Two, and unfortunately, one was on the red. So,
but that was FEMA money. That wasn't our money.
Right. Well, we couldn't use it.
We tried.
You get spanked.
Okay, on golf. Any questions on golf?
Since the two presidents have been brought to my attention, maybe we should mandate Ms. Stonick to get in more raffles.
We have to buy a lottery ticket.
Thursday's meeting, October 13th, when we went through the new positions and reclassifications, there were some things that affected golf that Bob reviewed with the committee. I just want to remind everybody to be improving those with the golf budget. Bob and Dan, we want to touch on what those items are.
We're going to do it with the administration, or are we going to do it?
Well, I just want you to be aware. We did it with we did it last week. The majority of them are here.
Let's review your personnel changes relative to golf. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think we should review.
Okay.
Okay, the total overall FTE increase in golf based on the hours is 0.13. So the total hours are really flat, and payroll will go down in total on the budgeted. There's our three changes, though, where... number one, we want to have an addition of...
Is there a page issue book that they can follow along?
Golf
operations are timing on?
Yes. I'm sorry. 64. I did a handout too, but it explains a little bit more the changes. Because those changes aren't... I don't think they're in the budget book, are they, Al?
Yeah. They're in your department. I can go through the three changes that are right. There was a creation of a position, a maintenance mechanic from a union position to a non represented position. We took a long term senior position that we want to make into a
It's a group golf coordinator and the supervisor of Brightdale,
And we took dollars from the seasonal position plus some other savings to fund that position. And the third thing is there was a request for Dan in the budget to get in the secret. Or in range adjustment. But those are the three things in the golf budget. Bob went through them at the October 13th meeting. I'm not going to get through on how he pointed them or the amount of dollars, but I want the committee to be aware that those three items are in the budget.
And the facilities and parks committee, the only change, there were no changes. Supervisor Overman?
There was, there were motions made, one motion was made to to make the golf coordinator supervisor full time. And there was a motion made, seconded and debated, to not allow the in-range adjustment for the golf GM. Both of those motions failed.
So we have the full time position in the budget that came forward. So the budget came forward as presented by the executive.
Correct.
Golf, any discussion from the committee? Okay, what else we have?
Highway, starts on page 83. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
I'll just make one comment to start with. The total levy for highway is decreasing from 2011 from $2,300,000 to $2,336,000 to $1,860,000, or a decrease of $476,000. And we'll start it from page 83. Page 80, the actual numbers start on page 87. All right. Over overall decrease in payroll in the highway department, if you add together the salary accounts, the non-productive wages, accident and sickness, vacation, casual pay, all those changes between the 2011 budget and the 2012 budget add up to a savings of $466,000. On top of the pay, and I'll summarize that up really quickly. There's 14 people that are going to be hired in this budget. They were budgeted in 2011. There's been personnel changes. They're down 14 of those people. When they're rehired, they will be rehired at $15 instead of approximately $25. So if you take a $10 per hour savings on 14 people for a whole year, that adds up to, I believe the number is about $250,000 just in that change, because they can do things now underneath this new plan that they couldn't do underneath with the union contract. There'll also be a decrease in overtime, because we can do some things, change in overtime. There's a reduction there of $150,000. Gary has some plans to reduce that number. Those numbers there add up to over $400,000 alone. There'll be some other decreases in, I think, vacation and casual pay. So the main savings coming out of the highway department is all the savings in payroll. There's also some corresponding savings in medical insurance, which I think was touched upon before in the highway department. So that's a big number. I don't know, Gary, you can talk much. I don't know if you have anything to add here. I'm much better at that than I am.
So your levy is going from 2.3, 2.4, roughly to 1.8?
Yeah.
And primarily it's in the personnel area?
Yep.
Capital
is on page... Again, on the top are some smaller items, the other $25,000 items, some greater repairs we need to make, and a utility vehicle. Then after that, we start talking about some of the larger projects. There's a $25,000 item there to do a study regarding what type of vehicle location and GPS system we need for the vehicles. Study.
I wouldn't be more of what I'd call needs analysis, and we want to do an RFP so we don't, too many times technical projects have been done and have been driven too much by vendors in the past, my perception, looking at things. And when you're doing something like a GPS thing, that could be something in the low six figures to, not unusual to see them going to the seven figures, we want to make sure we do it right. It's something you're going to put in place and it's going to last 10 to 15 plus years. So we wanted to have somebody come in and help us write up an RFP and develop a specification of that, not rely on just some slick marketing guys coming in and doing their whiz-bang thing, actually doing a thorough analysis of that, because it's a big project, and we want to make sure we do it right.
So what do you think you're going to, any idea what you're going to spend on a project like this?
I would say that it's...
It was close to $500,000 to completely install all the equipment.
Have other counties done this?
Bits and pieces. So, you know, there's some counties throughout the state have done it to some of their vehicles. I don't know any county that has done it to all of their vehicles.
And it depends what you put it on for. You can put, again, this goes to what you want to do. If you put it on just so you know where the vehicles are, that's cheap. Whatever, that gets you this much of what you can actually save from an operating expense standpoint. If you put on and you actually are monitoring what's taking place with that vehicle, so you have the sensors that pick up and are monitoring salt application, whether the plow blades up and down, you actually are monitoring exactly what's happening with that vehicle, then you can actually start to capture savings, because you can then start to, you've got good information to manage the things and make decisions on how to run things more efficiently. So determining exactly where you want to go, if you just want to put Now we can throw a cell phone in each car, each truck, and use the GPS on the cell phone to track. Then there's the fundamental decision of, do we want to use the cell phone towers, or do we want to use our wireless network that we've already got via our radio equipment? There's all kinds of different ways to look at this stuff, and there's a lot of technical stuff involved in this. I just want to make sure we do it right and we take a thorough look at it. We don't jump into something without knowing everything that we can about it. So that's what the point of it.
Our estimated cost was based on the actual cost in other times for the installation of the equipment and then the operating cost.
So these other counties that have gotten, they've done an ROI analysis. Do you have any?
It's all relatively new, and they're trying to develop those analyses, but it's working well in some counties, not so well in others. And that's why we're trying to take this slowly and not jump into it. It's just way too large of an investment to just move forward haphazardly. We want it to serve a useful purpose. We don't want it to just say we have GPS in our truck, so now we know where all our employees are. That certainly is a useful purpose, but the data collection is as useful, if not more, to do things like reduce the amount of salt that you need to spread on highways, to more efficiently managing our routes from a mileage standpoint. I mean, there's just almost endless things we can do from the data that's collected on these systems.
So when you bring this project forward, if you decide to bounce forward, you are going to have some sort of return on investment analysis as part of it.
Absolutely. Your ability to manage beyond it's basically taking a technological tool, and if you do it right, you apply it right, you will more efficiently be able to handle whatever challenges that are going on around the world. Don't follow it, probably the one that benefits the most from it. But any of the activities we'll be able to do it more efficiently. You can take and map out exactly truck routes. You can see where they're going. You can see, based on weather conditions, that are an overlay. You can have an overlay of the current weather conditions and determine where you need to reallocate resources real time. I mean, there's so much stuff that you can do that 5 years ago was a pipe dream. But if you don't do it right, and there's a state initiative that we know a little bit about that we wouldn't get involved with, you couldn't pay me to get involved with it. But are they going to be able to say that they've got a GPS in their car? Absolutely. But they ain't getting squat out of it. So we're not going to go down that path. We want to make sure we do this right.
And one of the important aspects of it is we do a lot of work for the state and towns and of course, the county. And through the data collection of the GPS, we will know exactly how many hours a truck has actually spent on a state highway, or how many hours it has spent on the interstate, how much salt it's used on those, and it's an automatic billing and invoicing system that eventually we're looking at implementing, so it gives us a more accurate method to charge those the state and the other municipalities that we can work for.
So, if I could, I'm not in favor of spending money on studies if you don't have to, but certainly we're talking about an investment that if it isn't, if you don't do it right, obviously you got to do it right as a department, but if you don't go into it with the right credit that mindset and what you're going to, how you're going to utilize it, then it is simply an employee tracking device and a person in favor of any cost.
I hope that you actually get a design out of this, not just a study, a feasibility study. I'm looking for a design. A system design for it.
Control fuel costs, control salt costs, obviously control overtime costs if you can utilize the system properly. So showing an ROI should be difficult as part of the analysis.
New standard final.
All of that, we're hearing that we're going to have to dump $4+ million into our IS system of joint services, and that just
at least from my standpoint, seems to have popped up. And we had a $500,000 pop up with the sheriff, and a unit that the rest of the league and everything's falling apart on. It just sort of came up in my opinion. And we're good at just having things come up, particularly when we earmark money for a project and we've got something left over. We always have a great secondary project to plow that money into. So, if talking about the golf, this golf plan and everything else, you know, I want to make sure we are doing long-range planning, not just countywide, but division specific. If you come forward with a plan, that's the only way I'll support it.
Supervisor Underhill.
WCA, I went to one of the conferences up there on the highways, and one of the things that Clay from Waukesha was talking about was with this system. Those trucks are monitored at all times, and if they get if someone reports, oh, so-and-so hit my car, they can find out what time that was, if that vehicle is even there. So that's something else you could look at, too, as far as covering our keisters on accidents or
mailbox damage.
Right. That was one of the other things. Yeah, our trucks weren't even in that location at that time. So, and they talked about the salt thing too.
Supervisor Holman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has there been any conversation with the IT department in terms of helping you assess, finding a system, developing a system, and even some of those applications that might be invoicing that we're referencing?
Yeah, they would be involved in this process. This really is to develop, like Gary said, the design specs, so we can put together an RFP for it. And we've already had conversations with IT because, yeah, there's the field stuff that it brings to the table, but there's the office stuff that if you're collecting that data real time as it's happening in terms of salt application, where that guy was, if he was on a state road or a county road, and all that gets designed right and it's into the system, then we don't have to have the guy come in a half hour before the end of his shift and fill out paperwork, non-value-added activity, just filling out paperwork to make sure we get all the money and everything accounted for in the right bucket. If we're capturing it right when it's happening.
And I guess my second question, too, because I've heard the question about return on investment. To what extent, after you had a truck go through a given area, did that GPS system then determine the road conditions and the weather? You know what I'm saying? To what extent would that system make the adjustment after someone had been through a given area?
It wouldn't necessarily make the adjustment if there's a supervisor though sitting in front of a laptop,
mm-hmm.
Whether they be on the road or in the office, and he sees, you've got weather services now that you can buy that literally are down to the block and show exactly what's happening where. If you know where your vehicles are and you got an overlay of what's happening in the county, you can now make adjustments as weather conditions, wind changes, precipitation changes. You can make changes as they're actually occurring based on that information. So it just gives you a whole bunch more tools to more efficiently manage a weather event.
I think what you're attempting to do is a great idea. I saw a lot of data about salt applications and weather conditions and those relative figures. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Supervisor Singer,
is that it for your presentation?
Well, there's other capital items there on page 91 if you have any more questions.
Continue to the 91. What is, I had it. There's something on here that has, I can't see it now. Has bike paths for all there is. Road engineering, ROW, right of way construction, / bike trail. What are we doing there?
That is the 13 miles of resurfacing of county trunk highways. It describes more than just that. The money that is shown in the budget is solely for the resurfacing of the 13 miles of Kind Trunk Highway, including the capitalization of $250,000 of personnel costs and the asphalt material. I don't believe there is anything else.
Was that project 14? What's your project number there?
Yes, 14. It's basically transportation infrastructure improvements, and it varies year to year of what is funded in there. Some years there have been bike paths in there. This year, it just so happens that it's all.
Page 98.
So is it page 92 that we're talking about that has the project? CIP 92?
Correct, yes. CIP 92.
So this is clearly, I just want to make sure it's clearly that these bike paths that we're talking about are along, if they're going to be reworking a road, they're doing it, it's along the highway, it's not where we're going to decide to do another bike path somewhere else.
We have been paving shoulders on a lot of, if it's warranted on county trunk highways, they're not technically bike paths or bike lanes, but under this program we have been paving shoulders. There are no separate bike paths in this Highway 14 in the transportation infrastructure improvement section.
So what does your project scope and description mean then? I just want to be very clear, because this is the book that we come back to and say we've given you budget authority, so I just want to be very clear what bike paths we're talking about.
There's no bike paths.
Page 98.
I'm on CIP 92. That project is called.
But look at also 98 connection.
Go down to your 98 of our book.
Yes. Look at 98. It's my point.
So that's all I'm asking. I just want to be clear what it references bike path. I want to be clear as to what is intended by that entire line.
That line is the same line that's in every year. It describes all of the transportation infrastructure improvements that we typically do. But all of those are not always included in the budget and each year. And what I'm saying is that in this budget for 2012, it's just County Trunk Highway resurfacing. It's not any of the other items that are described in that.
But that resurfacing County Trunk Highways does have some lane width for bike paths.
Correct. Yes.
And that's all I want to clarify, that it is county trunk resurfacing. You know, if you guys are doing bike paths, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about another bike path project. That's just bike path, and that's all I want to be clear.
We have other bike path projects that are funded in the federal and state funded program, but we don't. It's not in this transportation infrastructure improvement.
Okay.
We're doing approximately 13 miles this next year?
Correct.
Anything else? Supervisor Decker.
With the $250,000 that are personal costs that are capitalized in the highway projects, do we take that into consideration when you have the personnel line item in the regular budget?
Yes.
So you subtract out that 250.
The same amount was subtracted. I'm sorry.
I move approval. So we're done with everything we have to do then?
Yes, sir.
It's been moved by Supervisor Sanders, second by Supervisor Day.
Oh, I lied. I forgot to mention one thing. Well, it's, there's dog park expense and dog park revenue of $20,000 each. It's in the park thing, and I forgot to touch on it when John was here.
And so we'll take $20,000.
We're taking the revenue and spend it on.
Better separate that.
Boy.
It's pretty serious. Any other discussion?
I might make a break this.
Are there any? So we there was only the one amendment that was on a capital item going from 75 to 45. Okay,
that's included. Yeah,
that's included in here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. And we approve that. We are going to be recessed until tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
So we leave our third shift?
Yes. It's 9:05.
Let him motion a second. That's all
right.
Singer and O'Day.
Singer.
Give me the motion.
We leave our materials here.
Should we hear about here? I need the motion to adjourn.
So move.
We had a motion to adjourn.